Indeed, the habit of saying anything whatsoever about the self or others that is judgmental is a harmful and unhealthful thing to do, both metaphysically and physically. 64. The things we say go down into our bodies. Let us be very careful what we decide to say. When the tongue of judgment is quieted, the tongue of joy and peace is loosened, and one may speak to the self while working on the personality, attempting to understand it and see the balances that are desired. In words of comfort and support from the self to the self, the open heart creates the opportunity for the entity to fall in love with itself, to love it dearly, not simply as a puff expression of the puff creator. That is relatively irrelevant to the experiences of choices made. It falls in love with itself with all self-perceived imperfections thriving gloriously. It sees the self in all its rambunctious childishness, and nods happily, saying, "Yes, that is humanness, I recognize it and I embrace it." The heart is no longer, then, the rag and bone shop, the place where sad memories are wrapped in tissues only to be opened again, that the scent of failure may be relished. The open heart has itself a yard sale, and sells off all of its rags and bones to the universe, to the mother that is your earth, to the deep healing essence of your planetary caretaker, the earth itself. It is often well, when one is attempting to achieve the open heart, to take all the judgments and name them, and take a stone for each one and name the stone and name the judgment, and bury these stones and the judgments that they be carried in the breast of the mother, the earth of your planet. And then hold the hands on high, and say, "Mother, take this, for I know not how to heal it, and I know you do." 65. This is a powerful way of objecting this process for the self of becoming forgiven and forgiving. The idea here in burying stones is to realize that these issues can be risen above to a level where all is love, all is one, and whatever errors and distortions our thinking has led us into, there is healing in the reaching for that level of thinking that lies beyond all limitations of thought, that level at which the law of the oneness of all things is realized. Moments of such flashes of realization are rare and wonderful. One of the primal distortions of the law of one is that of healing. Healing occurs when a mind/body/spirit complex realizes, deep within itself, the law of one, that is, that there is no disharmony. No, 466, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts imperfection, that all is complete and whole and puff. Thus, the intelligent infinity within this mind/body/spirit complex reforms the illusion of body, mind or spirit to a form congruent with the law of one. The healer who's is energizer or catalyst for this completely individual process. 66. Whether we are attempting to heal ourself or another self, then, we are attempting to align ourselves with the law of one, in which all rests in the one great original thought or logos, which is infinite love. The healer's skill, then, is to a great extent involved in continuing to attempt to match the basic vibratory rate of the one original thought, which is infinite intelligence or love. It is well that a healer not consider its detailed picture of balanced health as perceived by the self. The more skillful attitude is to persist in whatever circumstances with the attempt to move the vibrational focus in tuning to as close to the original logos as possible in any given circumstance. 67. By doing this work of tuning the self, the healer is crystallizing the self's balance within the heart. The one great requirement of a healer is that the healer be one with the desire to live a balanced life. The balance of a life is unique to each entity. Yet the key to that balance is that within the hurry-scurry of the daily round, the healer has hollowed out a place within heart, mind and spirit wherein the light exists and is acknowledged, so that at all times the healer is capable of being and funioning as a living crystal. 68. The funion of the healer is like that of a crystal or any other catalyst that alters without itself being altered. The crystal is used as an example in the quote above because of discussion Don had with those of Ra about the healer itself as a crystal that might substitute for such a crystal in a pyramid, or in the hands of a healer who swings crystals. In this model, the healer is simply there, producing the light that pours through him. He does not do anything but create an opportunity or atmosphere in which the one to be healed may choose a new way to use incoming infinite light. The healer does not do anything. The healer does not heal. The healer presents to the one requesting healing an opportunity. Therefore, to the healer, we would always suggest the surrendering of the personal agenda, which is natural for any healer upon viewing an illness or the physical evidence of an illness. It is so easy to feel that one shall do this and that and it shall operate in a healing modality. Wally, It Is Well To, 467, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions. Outer gifts remain humble as a healer, for the healer works upon its own self and in no case does the healer heal. 69 In other words, don't look at the illness or condition that looks unhealed. Rather, allow the perfection of the original form that still exists at a higher spiritual level, undistorted and powerful, to inform and reform the outer bayer. How can we, as beings wishing to heal ourselves and be a healing presence for others, work upon ourselves? Those of Ra say, firstly, the mind must be known to itself. This is perhaps the most demanding part of healing work. If the mind knows itself, then the most important aspect of healing has occurred. Consciousness is the microcosm of the law of 1.70. Within this handbook, we have spent 2 chapters on resources for getting to know and to discipline the self metaphysically. As one who has worked to know my own complete self for decades, I can cheerfully report that it is a longer job than I have been able to accomplish so far, but that I feel we can make substantial progress by looking without blinking at our thoughts, all of our thoughts, including those we have when we have been wounded for some reason. The self is as the soldier at the line of battle. Often there is incoming fire that wounds the self. This wound needs to be attended to. The wounded self needs healing. The healing takes place due to the seeker's willingness to open the self and its imperfections to the centering influence of the largest perspive. Now, the largest perspive is that of love. In love the opposites are reconciled. This love is the seed of each of you, the truth at the center of you. It can be realized, not by taking it, but by releasing self, so that that self which has suffered during the unbalance to ions of self can be bathed in the living water of truth. 71 As those pricing the gift of healing, we will be always attempting to bring ourselves back into our own hearts, into those living waters that are the balm of Gilead. 149, A nurse and wanderer, says of her work, "The patients always feel very loved and touched, even when what I am doing with them is a very difficult and embarrassing procedure. The doctors and surgeons I work with are forever telling me that the patients can't stop talking about the love they can feel coming from me to them." 72, 468, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts. This atmosphere of love is the healing atmosphere. Spirit lives in this aura, and health is close behind. Before we ever hope to be a healer in the spiritual sense, we need to find and come into this attitude of open heart and flowing love, so that the balm runs through us. And if we are hoping to heal another, be sure that the other wishes to be healed, and wishes our help, in order to avoid infringement on free will. To heal without the permission of the one to be healed is not advisable, and we may further add that in most cases, not possible, for the one who is to be healed must not only give permission to be healed, but must also take part in the process by opening the self to the energies of a healing nature which are being prepared for that entity and which will be transmitted through the channel known as the healer. Because each entity is part of a oneness, each entity participates in the transfer of energy from one part of the oneness to another. 73 Heike Malaska agrees that without the patient's express request, healing attempts are useless. I have been able to assist people in healing themselves in cases when they have been ready and willing for it. In other cases, no matter how I have tried, I have just managed to produce frustration for myself, until I realized the person did not welcome change. So I have learned to listen to my hands and heart. They know long before I do whether someone needs assistance. 74 The price of the art of spiritual healing is a beautiful expression of an outer gift most of us have to some extent. If we are meeting the moment with an open heart, we are ready to be a healing presence. May we all be inspired to come to that open heart again and again. May we hope to be a blessing to others, if only because we smile at them instead of frowning, or speak to them gently instead of brushing them off. There are an infinite number of ways to express acceptance, forgiveness and hospitality of spirit. May we find just a few of them. Doing global work, doing work to better the planet is an outer gift about which few seekers have questioned our sources. Perhaps the wanderers of Earth are not, in general, well geared to think like politicians, ecologists, environmentalists and so forth. I have found this to be true of myself. In my youth, I tried Uivism as a way of expressing my love of equality of the peoples of Earth, 469, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts, but I confess to being an abject failure at it. There is much more to marching for a cause than believing in the cause. We must, in order to last at this grueling service, be convinced that the tactics we use are effective, even when they seem forced and false. I encourage those of us with the grit to last to take up government and statesmanship, if we are so led. I believe deeply in the possibility of a planetary peace process and in the hope of bettering our treatment of Earth and her people's resources. Don Elkins asked the Ra Group, "Questioner, can you describe the mechanism of the planetary healing?" Ra, I am Ra. Healing is a process of acceptance, forgiveness and, if possible, restitution. The restitution not being available in time, space, there are many among your peoples now attempting restitution while in the physical. 75 Spiritually speaking, restitution within the physical illusion is a matter of becoming able to view global and national issues within the context of the open heart. As Chandara says, it is time for all of us to join together in unity and harmony of light. 76 Li Tremaine enlarges on this thought, by building and nurturing a positive vision of world peace and love in our meditations and our thoughts, the energies will ripple outwards to be felt by all. The more that we acknowledge that we are part of a planetary consciousness, and offer upliftment and inspiration to others around the world, the stronger those ripples will become, and the further they will carry. This is a most crucial time to sow the seeds of a new world of peace and love. You do make a difference. The spirit of the Earth calls out for us to remember that we are the guardians of the Earth. Answer her call and together, united as one, we will sing this planet awake! Exclamation mark 77 Singing the planet awake sounds impossible to the outer ear that looks at statistics and probabilities. We in Europe, the Americas and the older stations of Western civilization are using far too much of the Earth's resources, yet much of our world still experiences lack, privation and hunger. The large portions of the Third World and New World which are as yet ungraced by capitalistic-style entrepreneurism and money accumulation are often in acute lack, starvation and mortal danger. Worldwide, many countries as yet treat portions of their population like slaves or pariahs. In many, 470, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts places eastward of the Levant, it can be highly uncomfortable, limiting or fatal to be born a woman. Most of all, our peace process languishes while little wars continue and strong nations impose their wills upon weaker states. However, those of Ra suggest that we need never give up the firm hope of progress. They speak of going into a grocery store to buy a container of Aid the Planet, although you have many, many items which cause distress and thus offer seeking and service opportunities, there is always one container in that store of peace, love, light and joy. This vortex may be very small, but to turn one's back upon it is to forget the infinite possibilities of the present moment. Could your planet polarize towards harmony in one fine, strong moment of inspiration? Yes, my friends. It is not probable, but it is ever possible. 78 Improbable possibilities have always been one of my favorite loves. A New York City wanderer, Apache, sends me this communication with her spirit guide, Andemo, with whom she talks on Uwab board. Apache, while telling Carla about us be beneficial to her wanderer book. Andemo, yes. It will help her to finish the book and she will be thankful to us because she wants to make the book a guide for wanderers and you are surely a wanderer on the earth plane. For all this life momentum is to be given unto service to others, so you must write to her very soon and be more specific than just to say there is some spirit on your paper because she will want to see the letter writing. Apache, okay, but what part will be most interesting to her? And Demo, all of the writing will interest her but more specific will be that which speaks on the role of your life on this plane. Apache, I don't remember your speaking on my role on this earth plane. Please reiterate. And Demo, your role is to help people find the most effective way to live in man-made environments, because you will find that the moment you allow life to be your dire ore, then all life will have to be good. You will see all man-made problems to be eradicable. 79 Although this makes less than puff sense to the linear mind, I believe it is the truth, all of our humanly created problems are solvable. But more than that, global peace is possible. It starts within each of our hearts. 471, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts. This instrument is concerned for the peace of the world and prays for it often. And yet if this instrument prayed for peace within itself, it would be the same prayer. Indeed, it is our humble opinion that the most efficient way to bring the world to peace is to learn peace within the self. For as you think, as you are, so your universe in toto is also, for your consciousness is as a field and each bit of fear that you are able to let drop, each time that you find your heart expanding. The consciousness of your planet is being lightened. 80 We need to express stewardship of our planet in our own individual ways. If you are a person who wishes to be a part of the global peace process and are willing to lend this effort time and focus, let me encourage your efforts. If you are a nascent politician, environmentalist or any other form of oolist wanting to serve in political office or peaceful protest, campaigning to repair damage or save a species, do not let me take one whit of energy away. In my own life, I have found that although I do not march well in picket lines, I can clean the church kitchen, which then is able to take on its missions a bit better. I believe that anything we do as a volunteer to aid the environment, help erase ignorance and illiteracy, feed the hungry, free the innocent prisoner or help the ill in hospice or hospital, will add its bit to the well-being of the community and the world. Donations to the arts feed into the community which is then able to share vision with its disadvantaged. Whatever we do, whatever we give in the world to add to its beauty and decrease its suffering, helps. Some of the outer ways of serving others take a degree of toughness which many awakened spirits may not have. If we identify ourselves with those sensitized souls and find ourselves shrinking from committee, caucus and protest, then let us resolve instead to develop our ability to think and envision globally, to see ourselves as one planet, one folk, one population. We are the people of Earth. It is up to us to give to the Earth our song of being and of love, in hopes of fulfilling our service to the planet and benefiting all people. Let us place and keep peace within our hearts daily, and invest faith in the positive future of humankind as we move through this end time, where a new world is being made within us and within our planet. May we sing with the grass, the wind and the stars, of love and light and unity. Channeling. Since vocal channeling happens to be an outer gift that I have been offering for 3 decades, this avenue of service is one especially close to my heart. 472, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts. However, I do not feel that vocal channeling is the form of this outer gift which all seekers should aspire to attain. The channeling of the life itself is far more my center of interest. The UO say, there is no one who is not a channel, there is no life which is not primarily a channeled existence. By this we mean that each of you carries within the self deep and unconscious forces neither to the good nor to the evil as much as to the deepening of experience. The more times in which the student may recognize the depth of the present moment, the more shall that soul channel more and more in a biased fashion, in an engaged fashion, in an enabling fashion for service to all and for love of the infinite creator. 81 Our psyche interwing with the present moment, then, is the engine that fuels our channel, that gives it fodder to assimilate. Note that the goal in channeling the life is not to become free of bias, but to intensify, deepen, celebrate and share our biases towards service to others, devotion to the Creator, and faithful witness to our own processes. Each of you is a channel with biases, and each glad and sad activity within your experience upon this earth plane is designed to teach you just how you wish to channel. This is not a vocation. This is a portion of the way a thinking entity regards the various forces of irritation and subconscious thought which creep into human discourse. If you know that you are indeed a channel, not to others but to the self, then you know that there are certain responsibilities. When you are offering the best you have in conversation, with perhaps unfortunate remarks made by others, may you find the patience, the light touch, the understanding and loving word in the face of the opposite which will make others rethink those conversations and wonder, perhaps for the first time, if they too could be responsible for such a wonderful thing as channeling a lighter, more joyful attitude. To you whom we may call shepherds, there is sent a glorious company of those who surround you, love you and love the one original thought that is slowly taking place and growing within each. Call upon those helpers which you know by names such as Holy Spirit, Guardian Angel and Inner Guide. More than that, rest back into the reckle iron of the enormous web of caring, trusting, hoping and loving which your most mixed up planet does indeed send out greatly. 82 The responsibility to be a shepherd rather than a wiseacre, a peacemaker rather than a wit, peaceful rather than righteous, is sometimes a heavy one. It is such fun to be smarter than, righter than, better than. I know there, 473, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts feelings well. I deal with the temptations of communication daily. I recently got a very kind post from Jody Boyne, whose thoughts grace these pages more than once, praising me for my TAR in correspondence with a mutual acquaintance in an e-group. I had to laugh, thinking back on all the things I did not, but wanted to, say in that TAR full post. But I feel the effort to be good channels is eminently worth it, for I see us all as radio sets, able to receive and to transmit thoughts at a desired frequency. There are so many examples of the channeling which all may do: the cooking, the washing, the smiling at the sun, the enjoyment of water, all the excitement of daily life, all the little things which are like flowers in a bowl in unexpired corners of your daily life. You channel your daily life. We ask you to do it lovingly and honorably, honoring yourself and honoring that which this instrument would call the Christ consciousness in each and every face that you see. 83 One wanderer who has experienced success in seeing the spirit within is Linda Kletcher, who relates, "I know when I talk to people, the words come out as if someone were playing a tape recorder in my head and I am merely repeating the words. I always seem to say the right things and then wonder, where did I get that? People have come to me with problems and seem to be so peaceful after I tell them something. It makes me feel good!" 84 By tuning herself into her open heart center, Linda has managed to get self out of the way, and allow her intuitions and intuitive guidance about what will most comfort her friends to take over for her. Perhaps many of us have had the experience of finding the right words when something has happened around us, and being able to disarm or diffuse a difficult situation. The most unnerving thing about this process of releasing into higher consciousness is the very real lack of conscious control. As Artist, 131, says, "It's not up to me how these things turn out, although my input is certainly part of it. I try to let the higher force take its course with least amount of disturbance from me, and that's not always easy to do." 85 Let the higher force take its course. What good advice! 131 is talking here about a painting, but the principle is golden for the whole range of channeling, whether the life, the arts, words of spiritual discourse or whatever may be our particular service. All the outer gifts involve channeling in order to bring them into maturity. Think of the self as an instrument, such as a flute or an oboe, something the breath moves through, the wind of spirit, sound. 474, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts sing the notes, but more than that, the resonances, overtones and undertones of our particular instrument, our particular body, our specific tuning. Vocal channeling. Speaking of vocal channeling, those of Latvia say, channeling is a different kind of teaching. It is a teaching in which one surrenders all desires to teach, to make sense or to do anything except to listen, to feel, to be, to float in that highest tuning which may be held in a stable manner. Then all else is a mechanical procedure of reporting upon the concepts one has received. 86 In offering the self to vocal channeling, then, a person becomes a pure instrument, a receiver and transmitter of concept and nuance. Giving up all desire to have this or that opinion, the instrument is simply iterating to the best of his ability that which he is receiving. It is a partnership with a particular source. Channeling is a way of engaging the highest and best within the channel in a collaboration with a deeply impersonal source of love, which we are, that has what we may call the larger point of view. 87 The Confederation sources I have quoted so often in this handbook are great fans of vocal channeling, since their service to those of Earth is aided somewhat by being able to use vocal instruments such as I. What the sources enjoyed the most are those distortions and biases that we, ourselves, may not value so highly, those marks of personal living and learning. Pure channeling may well be full of clarity, yet it is the color and fire of personality and poetry which only the channel can offer which sparks and enlivens our simple messages. 88 The Confederation sources indeed consider their message to be very, very simple, almost too simple to comprehend. And despite the millions of channeled words I personally have produced, I cannot contrary them. It is true. They have a simple story to tell. The will, in conscious channeling, always be a portion of yourself in every channeling that you give. This is desired by us. We have a very simple story to tell, a story of one great original thought, a love which created all that there is, a love to which all shall one day return. This story is too simple for people to understand. They must make it more. 475, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts Complex, so they may attempt to understand. It may be said that understanding is not something that may happen within your illusion, but it is part of the illusion that people wish very much to understand that which is not understandable. 89 By talking about that which cannot be understood completely in any linear manner, we who desire to be vocal channels offer to add one more resource to the very large bank of assets that seekers already have. Like all outer gifts, it is a small gift to the world, to share in the material we have received that we think is worth passing along. And, in common with other outer gifts, in it pride has no place. Any hint of pride will echo back to the channel immediately and loudly, for when one is attempting to channel vocally, one island standing close to the light of higher densities than our own. In bright light, the error-prone human personality shell casts a sharp shadow. We who choose to take up the life of a channeling instrument will find instant karma much more than a catchphrase. It is a way of life. We may expect trials and temptations each time we stray in our tuning. Any effort to think that this is not our responsibility is wasted, when these trials occur. Undertake, when they occur, to see them as the work that supports the channeling, for in working through such issues, we are choosing once again our polarity of service, and recentering our tuning. The heart of this effort of accepting whatever processes the life of every day brings us is the deepening and strengthening of our essential selfhood. Each of you, each of us, and indeed all of creation which is conscious of the self, is imbued in a vast ocean of overlapping and various illusions, some of which are brighter than others. In order to be able to find words that are evocative of the truth, the channel is most well prepared who has deeply considered the nature of the self, for the depth of the channeling, in its most appropriate configuration, is equal to the depth of spiritual solidity within the channel. 90 The spiritual solidity of a channel is a tough thing to judge, either for oneself or for another. When I began teaching channeling in the late 70s, I took all comers. Uniquely, as new channels developed difficulties and I learned to be more careful, I began finding ways of pre-selling good channeling candidates. As my experience grew, my standards became higher, for I saw so many having real difficulties with aspects of channeling that had rebounded upon their lives. I found that there were two basic kinds of vocal channeling, that of one's own inner plane's guidance, and that of outer planes or allegedly extraterrestrial sources. Channeling one's own guidance for one's own edification, I found, is a fairly safe endeavor. 476, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts Guidances Within One's Own Aura.